It's not used. Welcome. Welcome. It's good to see you all this morning. It feels like I haven't stood here for absolutely ages, so it's good for me to be back. I don't know how you feel about it. But anyway, our worship this morning, we continue with the five mission priorities of the Salvation Army. And we are reaching the fifth mission priority today, which is to care for creation. To care for creation. And later on in the meeting, I'm going to connect that mission priority with the biblical context, biblical concept of Sabbath. So what can Sabbath, what can the day of rest teach us about caring for creation? And the wonderful thing is that the Old Testament law gives us the answer quite easily. But before we get there, let's join together in sung worship as we sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." I invite you to stand if you're able, of course, as we join in sung worship together. Please take your seats. That's a song that kind of points us to that idea of, well, God the Creator for one, but that notion also that creation, all of creation, worships God. So in a sense, there's no separation, is there, between us and the rest of creation, because we're all created by God, and then we all worship him as well. So that should inform as well how we care for the environment and for the creation that surrounds us. We continue with another image from nature. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And that's what we're going to do right now. Do you ever get that longing feeling for God? Oh God, there's more of you that I want to know. Oh God, I used to know so much more of you. Oh God, I used to feel you more closely. And he's here ready to pour out and to refresh us, because that's what the water's about, isn't it? Pour and refresh. So we're going to sing this together. And because we're considering the notion of Sabbath this morning, I think what we're going to do is we're going to sing. And then John's going to carry on playing as he does so beautifully. And he's going to fade out slowly. And we're going to leave some silence. Silence is not something I get very much in my life. Some of you might, others not. So I wonder this morning if that's something that we can try and experience together and allow God to draw near to us in that silence. Allow him to draw near, to soothe, to love us. God does draw near, particularly noticeably in the silence. So let's have some courage and some confidence, and let's embrace that this morning. So let's close our eyes and let's bask, for the want of a better word, in God's presence this morning, and allow him to draw near and to soothe and to pour out his love on you today. Heavenly Father, you know our minds. You know our hearts. And you know the very depths of our souls. You know what is troubling us. You know what is filling us with joy. And we thank you for that. Teach us, Lord, to seek your presence in the quietness of moments such as these. You also hear the prayers, Lord, that we can't put into words. So we lay them at your feet this morning. We praise and worship you because you are faithful and you are good. And you are our God. And we thank you for Jesus, through whom we are able to make this prayer. Amen. I hand over now to the songsters, who are going to bring a song to us called Promises, under the direction of Neil today, I understand. Children and young people, disappointed, angry.
He has made us look after it, so we've got to look after it well, because it's valuable and because it's precious. Thank you very much, everyone, for bringing in your objects. I want to see how this torch works, because I love torches. I love torches. Ballet shoes, I can't say I've ever seen them. Shoes are some great holiday passing. So off you go to Sunday school. Have a wonderful time, and we'll see you afterwards. He won a fancy dress contest.
Ah.
Yeah, good, well done, Matthew. Excellent.
We have a special guest with us this morning in the person of Hugh. Hugh Pilcher from a charity called Jesus Loves the Little Children that are based in Uganda. We support the charity on an annual basis and have done so for a number of years. Hugh is known to some of you, isn't he? Or to many of you? Some. To some of you. And he's going to tell us about the children that we are sponsoring through Jesus Loves the Little Children. Over to you, Hugh.
Good morning. Anybody remember me? I come here once a year, and I'm here to tell you that you're 1 year older. I stay in Uganda, originally from Suffolk, and I manage a little organization called Jesus Loves the Little Children. And we're helping little children, the most vulnerable, the disabled, the poorest out there in central Uganda. So this corps, you send us some money every year, which is wonderful, and we use that to send 6 children to school. And I'm going to quickly go through the children that you help, that you are sending to school. Okay? This is Janet. Okot Janet. Janet lives with her mum and sisters and brother, and they're very poor. They live in a mud hut. They have a little bit of land they can use for growing things, but they're really poor. As she often tells me, they've got no soap and things like that, and they go without food. That's Janet. But she loves going to school. She's in year 2 primary school. Next one. This is Perezi, Apolowot Perezi. She's in the final year of primary school when they have a national exam, which is very important. So you can pray for her, Perezi. She stays with her mum, also a very wonderful mum, who does a lot in the community. She's quite quiet a girl, but nice girl. Next slide. This is Fatuma. Fatuma Cheka. Fatuma first came to us. She used to come to our club for children with disabilities, Glory Kids we call them, and we thought maybe she was mentally a little bit disabled. But after a while, we said we put her in a school, in a preschool. She did quite well, so we said okay, let's put her in year 1 of primary school, and she's just coming on really well and. Doing fabulously, actually. She used to be really shy, and you'd kind of ask her something, and she'd start to cry. Maybe it's my face. Fatuma used to have epilepsy, and that seems to have gone, praise God. So that's Fatuma. She stays with a single mum. Next slide. Also very poor. This is Sam, Kato Sam. Sam has cerebral palsy, and he can't walk yet. God can do anything. But he also has trouble writing. He's a bright lad. Recently I was at his school and we were praying for people and he said, oh, I want to pray for you. That was really lovely. And he's a lovely lad, one of the happiest children we have. Also comes from one of the poorest homes that we help. He stays with, when he's at home, he stays with his grandmother, Teresa, and his twin sister. And because she's old, she can't work, so no income. They literally often go days without food, or they just rely on their neighbors to give them some maize flour. One time I was there, and I brought them a cabbage, some cooking oil, an onion, some tomatoes, and some maize flour. And they thought that was the best thing ever. It was like Christmas dinner. So a lovely family, but very, very poor. Sometimes we just have to give them cash for food, which we don't like to do, and that's the only people who do that. And they just literally have no food. But Sam goes to boarding school because the school for children with disabilities is in the next district. So you pay for his boarding and all his costs. Next slide. That is Nakiwala Joanne. She stays with her mum, also a single mum. Nice girl, very quiet. Her mum also makes me think of Mary Magdalene. When we first knew her mum, she had a lot of demons in her. I think they've all gone now. So a lovely believing mum. And so that's good. That's Joanne. Next one. And this is Dennis. Dennis is getting huge, and he's still in primary school. And he's like 18. We want him to finish primary school and he'll do that national exam. And he's like up here and the kids are down there. So after trying, we're trying to get him through. Nice guy, very active in his local church. He actually stays with his mum and dad, but his dad has some horrible flesh-eating ulcers on his legs, which we can't seem to do anything about. That's Dennis, giant. Next slide. And then finally, I just want to show you this because these are some of our girls, other girls that we help in school. Recently, one of our girls, a bit of a horrible story, one of our girls was raped by her mum's boyfriend. So these are other things we have to kind of try to address and help. That girl... Not one of yours, but she comes from a Muslim home, and she recently gave her life to Christ, and I'm sure that relationship is helping her. So these girls, we try and get them to the end of primary school, and there's a lot of pressure on them and things. Girls can be treated very badly out there, and women sometimes. So we try to encourage them, bless them, and all of the children we know, we share Jesus with them. And we hope they come to know Jesus, and that does happen. And also their guardians. So that's a little bit what we do. And thank you for helping those children and your support. Praise God. In Uganda, the pastor often says, "Hallelujah," and everyone says, "Amen." We can try that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very good. Praise God. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Hugh, for sharing with us. It's nice to put, for me, it's nice to put flesh on the school reports that you send to us regularly, and I post on the notice board at the back, and I update them as often as Hugh updates us. So there's some information about these children back there, so it's lovely to flesh that out. So may God bless you personally, because we know it's not easy living in those circumstances sometimes. And may God bless the work of your organisation, and perhaps more to the point, may God bless the children through your work. We continue in sung worship now, and we're going to sing The Splendour of the King. And as we sing that, accompanied by the worship band, the offering will be taken up. And I think we'll stand, actually, because it'll give us the chance to stretch our legs if we need to. So let's join together in sung worship.
Oh, yeah.
Let's pray together. Indeed, Father God, you are great. There is no God greater than you. And we worship you and we praise you this morning. We worship you through our singing. We worship you through our thinking. We worship you through our being here. And we worship you through our giving, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would receive what we have given this morning as a token of our love to you. And we pray that these gifts would be fructified, that they would be increased. And we pray, Lord, that we would be challenged to give more because of everything that you have done and because of everything that you mean to us. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn now to the reading of the Word, and Linda is going to bring us the Bible reading now.
The Bible reading chosen for this morning is from Leviticus chapter 25, three verses from there, and then Leviticus chapter 26, starting at 25 and verse 3. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. And over now to 26, verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. May God add his blessing to the reading from his word.
Thank you, Linda. We'll turn to that very shortly, but in the meantime we will listen to the ministry of the band with a selection of songs and choruses called In Wonder Beholding.
Thank you.
the basis of my preaching. And the Salvation Army's mission priorities, so yours and mine, really. Because there's no Salvation Army without you and me, are firstly to share the good news, to nurture disciples of Jesus, to serve others without discrimination. And when Nick and Kerry Koch visited us, they challenged us to seek justice and reconciliation. And finally today, we consider to care for creation. And some of you may know that last week was World Environment Day. And to mark this occasion, the Salvation Army issued a declaration that recognized that we are indeed living through a climate emergency. And within this declaration, the Salvation Army committed to four things. Firstly, to raising awareness of the issues across its communities in the UK, in Ireland, the Channel Islands, and the Isle of Man. We committed to agreeing to a net zero carbon emissions target across all our direct and indirect emissions and being transparent about progress, which is the important bit, I suspect. We committed to supporting all UK Salvation Army expressions, churches such as these, care homes, lifehouses and programmes, to engage in programmes that will reduce emissions. And finally, we committed to enabling communities to reuse clothing and other products through more than 390 charity shops, 8,000 clothing collection banks, thereby avoiding carbon emissions from the manufacture of new goods. How we fit into this declaration and these commitments is still very much a matter for further planning. But if some funding was available for some solar panels, I think I'd take it. That was my attempt at being funny, but it failed miserably. Locally, we do a good job, though, at sorting out our waste. This is good, but I think there's plenty of areas, for instance, where we could improve. The point is, we need to start thinking about what we can do as a fellowship, but also as individuals, in response to the reality of this climate emergency. Because the big picture, of course, is distressing. Climate change is accelerating. Creatures and plants are dying out at an alarming rate. The increase in carbon emissions is causing temperatures to rise and increasing the number and intensity of extreme weather events. Look at Canada this past week. We have been aware of this for a while now. And while some progress has been made in some areas, there's much more that needs to be done to limit climate change and to protect our environment. Humankind bears its fair share of responsibility. We have overconsumed the world's finite resources. But there's also a sense in which we are more disconnected from the natural world and its rhythms than ever before. And one of these God-given rhythms, which is built into the very fabric of the cosmos and our own lives, is that concept of Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 10 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work." So this morning I want to explore how this biblical concept of Sabbath can inform our attitude to caring for creation, not only individually, but as a church core too. So the majority of the book of Leviticus is presented as speeches made by God, speeches if you will really, delivered by God to Moses, that God then charges Moses to share with the Israelites. So it's important to note the context in which these discourses are made and received. It's the Exodus as Israel travels from slavery in Egypt to the land that God had promised them. the Israelites are living on the move. So it makes no sense to plant crops. They did have livestock, and we see God miraculously providing for them through this kind of mysterious substance of manna. In a sense, through their wandering and their reliance on God, they too were disconnected from the land. So the focus of this passage then is on the future, how they should live when they settle, how they will plant, how they will tend and harvest their crops, nurture their families, and also build businesses. It's in this context that God introduces the concept of a Sabbath for the land too. Work the land for 6 years, and then allow it to rest for the seventh. The Sabbath of the land is a good model for the Israelites. Well, for three reasons, I think. Firstly, the Sabbath would serve as a reminder that the land is God's, not the Israelites. The land is God's. Secondly, it allows the Israelites to enact their dependence on God. God looked after them in the wilderness of the Exodus. He will meet our needs in that Sabbath year. So we see here a vision of a life lived by faith, trusting that God will provide. Furthermore, some commentaries suggest that the Sabbath of the land also foresees people to live for a while on the same economic plane as everyone else. And this is bound to foster a sense of empathy and compassion during the 6 years of labor. But besides this, Sabbath is wise management of the land. Farmers know that it's good it's good practice to allow the land to lie fallow. The soil is able to restore its structure and its nutrients. The earthworms and various microbes do their jobs, and yields are noticeably increased. I've never worked the land, but I think it's true. So Leviticus chapter 25 and 26 show us how to love people and to care for creation at the same time. A fast for the land in order that it may be restored, the poor can be provided for, and the inequality between rich and poor reduced. And in a sense, this is what the Bible also calls shalom. And we often limit our understanding of shalom to peace. But shalom also englobes harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. And goodness knows that the world could do with some of that. It's as if God is teaching the Israelites and us today that when we care for creation, then creation will care for us. Rising sea levels are threatening Pacific islands. People are losing their homes, their lands, and their livelihoods. In sub-Saharan Africa, the desert continues to advance, pushing people to ever more densely populated areas. There's a hunger crisis in East Africa, where droughts that used to occur in a 4-year cycle have now happened for 4 years running. In 2022, more than 2.3 billion people faced water stress, and almost 160 million children were exposed to severe and prolonged drought. When floods in Pakistan covered 1/3 of the land, imagine that. Over 33 million people, that's 15% of the population, were impacted and internally displaced. Nearly 1,200 people died. Almost 1 million homes were washed away. 900,000 livestock perished, and 90% of crops were damaged. And there's plenty of evidence of climate change locally too. Did you notice the unusually cold mornings this week? As a relatively benign example, we're already the county that experiences the least rainfall in the country. But can you remember the last time it rained? We know examples of cliffs crumbling all along our coast due to rising sea levels and erosion. So we are not immune to this climate emergency. A few months ago, when the cost of utilities rose drastically, we changed our behaviour immediately to limit the impact on our wallets. Naturally, as a species, we are risk averse, and our instinct is to avoid anything that presents a threat. The risks of the climate emergency are becoming increasingly clear, and we need to act. In the face of the crisis, let's not hide behind the limited impact that small changes can make. Instead, let's rely on the biblical concept of Sabbath that gives us a foundation on which to build, that recognizes that God is our creator and our sustainer, and empowers us to use the earth's resources sparingly, trusting that he will provide. I invite you now to join with me in any prayer of confession. Let us join together in prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the beauty of your creation and for giving us the privilege of caring for it. We confess that we have not cared for the earth with the self-sacrificing and nurturing love that you require of us. We mourn the broken relationships with creation. We repent for our part in causing the current environmental crisis that has led to climate change. Faithful God, sustainer of all, we pray with hope because you are already at work through Christ to reconcile all of creation to yourself and to renew all things. Loving God, help us to turn our lives around to be people of restoration. Help us build just relationships among human beings and with the rest of creation. Help us to live sustainably, rejecting consumerism and the exploitation of creation. God of justice, give us courage and persistence to work for justice for those most affected by environmental degradation and climate change. God of mercy, hear the cry of the poor who are already suffering and will continue to suffer water and food shortages and who will be displaced by climate change. Creator God, give us your spirit to work together to restore your creation and to hand on a safe environment and climate to our children and theirs. Let our care for creation be an act of worship and obedience to you. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we bring our worship to a close this morning by joining together in singing this hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let us stand if we are able and join together, and we'll follow the lead of the band. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.